to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in.
Oh! We're spicy today.
Monday, October 3rd. The Fantasy Footballers back with you. Jason Moore, Mike Wright, Andy Holloway at the FF Ballers on Twitter. Welcome into the show. Another weekend of fantasy football. A lot of emotions.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of pain.
A lot of joy.
A lot of confusion. And we're going to get into all of it today. Studs and duds on the show, news to talk about, injuries to talk about, Monday Punday in a moment. But first.
Yes, sir.
Huge news.
Jared Goff is here to announce for us.
Jared Goff.
Now, something that the Foot Clan has asked for a long time is taking place this week. On Thursday, it's football time with the Fantasy Footballers. What does that mean? That means we're going to be live during Thursday Night Football on Twitch. You will join us, and we will be calling the game, talking through the game. This will be a watch extravaganza.
Yeah, the
you,
good word.
You will
it's not
tune
a party.
In. It's not a party. It's an extravaganza. You tune in. We're going to be covering the Thursday Night Football game live on Twitch with a fantasy focus, right? We're going to be paying attention to what the listeners of this show care about, reacting emotionally at times to what takes place on the field.
We watch these games like you watch these games, and so many people have asked us for so many years, oh, man, you guys should call these games. I would love to hear you guys call a game. And we decided,
sure.
Y'all right.
Sure.
We should.
Well, we said that we're going to try it out.
We're going to try it out one time coming up this Thursday. And we want all of the Foot Clan to be with us there, to join us on our stream, listen to us call the game, have us live react with you. It is going to be awesome.
We're going to spend commercial breaks answering questions directly from the Twitch chat. So we'll be getting into a lot of fantasy football discussions, and it's going to be super fun. You can tune in on Thursday on Twitch. And
Twitch.tv/FantasyFootballersPodcast.
There you go. And we'll get ballerslive.com.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All
we'll
set up for
make
you.
It
so you can go to Ballers Live and tune in on Twitch on Thursday. We're calling it football time because it's football time.
Yeah.
Right? That seems like a good reason.
This Thursday, it's football time.
That's right. And you can tune in to listen.
For real.
You can tune in and listen to us not talk about Javonte Williams and Jonathan Taylor.
Hey. Hey. We're going to talk about the awesome Russell Wilson.
That's right.
Fantasy
superstar. That is getting to talk about Russell Wilson live with the audience.
Dangerous.
It's going to be a danger witch. Yes. Let's go ahead and...
Everyone get your most dangerous story ready.
That's right.
For Thursday.
Yeah, and on the other side, it's Matty Ice. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And, of course, Pity City will take part in the Thursday Night Football event as well. It is Monday. We put the call out on Twitter. Actually, we put it out on it
all
platforms. Yeah. For your best Monday Punday reactions to the weekend.
Clyde Edwards, whee! There.
We've got Gonathan Taylor.
And Grave Davis.
And Mike, go ahead and take this one.
Which the
best one?
BM Metcalf.
I was going to go with Najee Harris.
Oh, Najee did you think that
Harris.
Was the best one?
That
That's
is
so
the best
good.
One. There's also TJ Hawkinson.
Oh, TJ TD Hawkinson.
Ruined it.
Whoa. Allie Cox.
Kyle Pitts of Hell.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you had Mike Evans.
Joshua Face Palmer.
And CeeDee Bam. He's been good.
He has. They just needed to get that Dak guy out of there.
Yes.
No, it's nice to see.
It really, really is. I think that his season is looking like we had hoped previous to week one, and it should only get better as the season goes along.
Jalen Tolbert, a healthy scratch in that game. Michael Gallup made his return, and CeeDee Lamb doing work for fantasy players the last 2 weeks. Couple reminders, the community, jointhefoot.com. You get a bonus weekly episode of the show. You get access to all of the community forums over on Discord, premium perks. We are launching a brand new dashboard for the Foot Clan today, later this afternoon. Jointhefoot.com to get access. TheFantasyFootballers.com is the website.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
Well, let's go ahead and start with a running back that is going to be returning as opposed to one leaving. The Washington Commanders expected to activate running back Brian Robinson off the non-football injury list early this week. This is going to coincide, Mike, with the lowest snap percentage of the season for Antonio Gibson, just 41% of the snaps against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, on Spotify Live, he was my panic player this past week because – I mean, the week one, you knew it was going to happen week one. It was all there, but everything else has just been trending in such a bad direction for Antonio Gibson. No way, like the culmination was going to be, well, Brian Robinson is going to be back. And then it was just, they're like, no, we're going to close that door a little bit earlier. We're going to do it this weekend and make sure that JD McKissick gets a whole bunch of rushing attempts.
Also, injury news. This is where it gets
buckle up.
Disappointing. Jonathan Taylor went 20 for 41 in this game, exited with a right ankle injury so far this morning, and we will keep you up to date throughout the show because I would imagine we may get another update on the imaging and maybe more of a prognosis for Thursday. But Ian Rappaport reporting the injury is not believed to be overly serious. I know they got some tests back already. The Colts, unfortunately, play the Broncos on Thursday night this week. Fortunately, unfortunately, it depends on the severity of the ankle, because if he doesn't play on Thursday, which seems like he might not play on Thursday, he will get another 10 days after that.
It could be one game instead of two.
So we'll see. There was some discussion on social media about high ankle sprain, but it seems like it's not going to be long term.
Yeah, at the very least, we know it's not a surgery situation and a season-ending situation like what we fear could happen for the running back across the field on him from him on Thursday. Javonte Williams feared to have suffered a serious right knee injury, and he's going through tests today to confirm the severity. This is devastating, and I don't want to put the blame on Andy. I don't want to do that.
Oh.
But this double Reaper situation here, where he just this week made a trade of Javonte and Jonathan Taylor one for one.
I see.
I'm not saying he did it, but I think he did it.
It's actually,
we can't confirm that he didn't.
That's true.
Perspective is pretty valuable for fantasy football. I did, in our league of record, make a trade where I included Javonte. It was about four players on each side and some picks. But I exchanged Javonte and I got Jonathan Taylor back, and I'm sitting there. This is the worst professional game of Jonathan Taylor's career, fantasy-wise. He's never scored fewer points, at least when I looked back at the game logs for his entire career, because that's what we do. We want to just wallow in the pit of sorrow.
Yes.
I was like, this is the worst game of his career. I just got him. I've never had him. And this is my debut with Jonathan Taylor. What a disaster. Oh, he's hurt now. What a disaster.
Yeah, and not only that, but you gave up young, budding superstar Javonte Williams to get him. So it was the worst loser feeling that you've had.
And then it could, not doing the trade would have felt worse, because Javonte looks like he's going to be out for the year. We've got a waiver show tomorrow. Melvin Gordon will be taking reps on this team, who's fumbled four times this year. The offense has been a gross Mike, in Denver.
Mike Boone will be a pickup who played more than Melvin Gordon once Javonte went out, because Gordon
is dealing with the fumble.
Well, the fumble, and Gordon's dealing with his own injury, and it's a short week.
Yeah, and for what it's worth, Mike Boone had two egregious game-ending drops as well.
Yes, he did.
So that offense is hurting. Daniel Jones, ankle injury, not believed to be serious day-to-day. Jamison Crowder fractured his ankle in Sunday's game against the Ravens. So tomorrow we'll be talking Isaiah McKenzie, who also exited with a concussion, but will have, you know, I don't know, Khalil Shakir may have an opportunity as well.
He certainly does.
And what if they threw the ball to Gabe Davis? I mean, just think about that. What if they did that? What if 9 targets in 2 weeks?
We
total.
May never know.
Treylon Burks exited with a left foot injury, was seen leaving the locker room on crutches with a boot. That's not good. The Treylon Burks breakout looks like it's on hold for an extended time. Jahan Dotson exited with a hamstring injury after scoring yet again. Rookie wide receiver talk. There's a lot of it. George Pickens as well. We'll talk about him. Brian Hoyer exited early. Backup quarterback for the Patriots. Bailey Zappi.
Zap, 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 zap.
He was zapping people over the field.
Yeah, we had a good time on Sunday because when that game was going towards overtime, every time he'd complete a pass, it was just like, zap, 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 pew, pew,
you
pew,
got,
pew, pew.
You got zapped.
So we... This is what we do.
Yeah, just wait for Thursday, people. Join us for the calling of this game.
Oh, yeah, gosh. We fill the dead air with things like that. But they didn't win. They lost in overtime. That was today's news and notes brought to you by USAA Insurance. Learn more at USAA.com/insurance.
This week's Fantasy Stud Muffins.
Well, 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 if it isn't one of, my start of the week, despite having no weapons of any kind.
Well, he had one.
26 for 39, 378 and 4. Jared Goff, all hailing.
This game.
Introducing Jared Goff.
Look, this game, this was one of those games where everything just gets fully out of control. And on both sides, the defense just, they can't perform. They choose not to. Well, I don't know exactly what happens because we get a few of these every year where it's just pure chaos and there's nonstop points. What was the, did we get over 100 total points?
48-45 was the final score. And that's not over 100, Mike. But
it's close.
Well.
They say don't get defensive, right? And they didn't. So, I mean, the two offenses figured it out.
There is nothing better for fantasy football than what is happening with the Detroit Lions. They are currently the number one offense and the number 32nd ranked defense.
The number 32nd.
That means it will continue.
Right.
So, beautiful. Geno Smith in the same game.
Bro.
You want to say something about Geno?
Always. I think that Geno Smith deserves some dap. At this point, he's playing very well. He put up 320 and 2, 7 for 49 with a rushing touchdown.
Yeah, give his resume right now.
So right now we have Geno Smith replacing Russell Wilson,
former first round draft pick, or was he second round? Second round. Yeah.
He had to wait in the green room. That was a tough situation. But Russ is gone. He had to be in a competition with Drew Locke. The team just continually talked up Drew Locke like he was the best thing since sliced bread. If you were in the draft, Drew Locke would be the number one quarterback in this class. And then Geno ends up beating him out. And now we have seen Geno first in completion rate, 5th in yards per attempt, 6th in QBR, 8th in on target throw rate, and he's 6th in the league in designed rushing attempts at the quarterback position.
Are you talking about top 10 quarterback on the season, Geno Smith? Quarterback number 9? He is. He's the quarterback 9 on the season for fantasy football.
Oh, I thought we were talking about Russ. We're talking about Geno Smith?
Oh, no. We were talking about the good one.
Russell Wilson has a bit of a pulse this week, 237 and 2. Ran one in, so he got to the 3 touchdown mark, which is nice because Mike made him his start of the week with a little bit of hope. Was this enough to make you do it again?
Because
this offense, man.
No.
Okay.
It was
the one-timer.
Well, it was the matchup was the Raiders are going to be great, just like the Lions. It's going to be fun to play your quarterbacks against them throughout the season. Now, the Colts on Thursday
at home.
You could certainly do worse at the streaming if you're having to stream your quarterback.
Tom Brady, 39 for 52.
What a wacky game.
385 and 3. So big fantasy day for Tom Brady. First one of the year. Kansas City, I think this was the most scoring in the first half of any game this season is what they showed on the broadcast. Either that or the first quarter. I don't remember. There's a lot of points. But, you know, Kansas City just kept scoring on the Tampa Bay's vaulted defense.
Vaunted. They were murderous.
It's in a vault.
They locked it up. That defense locks it down. So I guess that works. A vault works.
Yeah.
Smart. I mean, obviously this was some Super Bowl payback.
Yes.
This was chip on the shoulder. We have pulled out all the stops, and the Kansas City offense just torched the vaulted Buccaneers defense.
And the was it Noah Gray who got the
the
Houdini rushing touchdown
where he got the lineup at quarterback?
So if you didn't see the play, Patrick Mahomes calls for the man in motion. It's Noah Gray, the tight end, who, you know, runs back and forth. Patrick Mahomes like starts doing sleight of hand, trying to get the defense attention, like pointed to Kelsey. Meanwhile, Noah Gray just goes right up to the center and he's the quarterback. Whatever, he sneaks it in 1 yard for a touchdown. And I just my thought. I mean, the play was sensational, but immediately it went to Cliff Kingsbury going, "What? I do that stuff too. Why doesn't it work when I do it?"
Yeah, you're talking about the fourth and one where they gave an end around handoff to yeah. Rondale Moore. I mean, it just he's just not good.
I know.
So Patrick Mahomes.
So Cliff, if you're wondering why it doesn't work when you do it and Andy Reid does, it's because you're not good.
Yeah, right. That is the answer.
At your job,
right? But you have job security.
Yes.
Patrick Mahomes, big game. Kyler Murray got into the end zone, two touchdown passes, one rushing. Second half was good. First half was a disgrace.
When we have, speaking of what we were just speaking of, see, a lot of teams, they script the first, the first 15 plays, all that. And so the Cardinals, I believe, are eight first quarters in a row without scoring. So when Cliff is scripting it, they're like, man, these plays are really easy to diagnose as a defense. And then once we're off script, Kyler can get it going.
I could talk all day long about how bad the Cardinals are at 2-2, including the fact that they are number one in the National Football League over the last 3 years in timeouts used to stop a delay of game penalty for an offense that says they're up, you know, fast pace. Let's get to the line. Let's challenge the defense. I think there's like a really big delay on the microphone from Cliff getting all the way to
it's
Kyler.
It's a tech problem.
Let's turn it to fantasy because I have two quarterbacks that I recommend you get right now. Number one is Kyler Murray. He is somehow still the quarterback six on the season. He will get DeAndre Hopkins back. And listen, this week will be tough. He's at home against Philadelphia. But following this week, there is a four-game stretch. I believe it is Seattle.
Then the Saints.
Saints, and then somebody else, and then the Saints.
Minnesota, and then the Seahawks again.
Then the Seahawks again. So you have a four-game stretch. You watched the Seahawks. They just gave up 45 points to Detroit with one offensive weapon. His name's T.J. Hockenson. It's going to get a lot better for Kyler. Hopkins is going to come back in that stretch, and they will figure out some things on the offensive side of the football. And I think you pick up Kyler. And the other one is Justin Herbert. He is playing well despite having no Keenan Allen, and I think that it's going to get very, very good for Herbert as well. So if you're looking at, you know, picking up somebody on the cheap, those are my two targets.
Sure. My one suggestion for Kyler Murray is don't watch.
Yeah.
Because by halftime, you will have a full heart attack, and the ambulance will come. It will take you away, and you'll miss the second half where he actually puts up points.
Yeah, they'll zip you up and everything.
Yeah, just don't watch it. It's not fun.
All right, we had some running backs that had monster performances this week. It just wasn't all of the ones you thought were going to. Josh Jacobs with the highest snap rate of his career.
Josh Jacobs!
28 for 144, two touchdowns, six targets, 34 opportunities. I played against him in League of Record, and congratulations, Joshua.
Yeah, the utilization of Josh Jacobs has been great all season. Now, this was his peak, but 60% week one, 72% snaps week two, 64% week three. He has been the dude for this offense. He's playing very well. Last week, remember, he was dealing with an illness, had to fly out separately.
Right,
And he obviously has fully recovered. he was just outstanding this week. And kudos to Brooks, who is not in the house right now, who pre-draft season, when most people didn't want Josh Jacobs, he's like, I want him. I think he's going to be great.
The nice thing is this insane performance is their one win of the year so far. So using him, not getting cute with Brandon Bolden and Amir Abdullah, led to a victory. So that's something you like to see.
Yeah, I think it's going to be sticky. Not sticky to the point of 144 and two rushing touchdowns, but sticky to the point of he's going
like
to be good
honey?
For fantasy all year and going to be hard to wash off like honey, yeah.
Okay. Austin Eckler, Jason.
Hey!
13 for 60, two rushing touchdowns, seven targets, another receiving touchdown. He said, I'm going to deceive you. I'm going to put up a monster game and make myself the RB5 on the year so that later on, when we forget what week to week felt like, you will think I was awesome the whole time.
Awesome. Excellent. Thank you. For a guy who had 20 touchdowns last year and zero through week three, he is now averaging almost a touchdown a game. So that's great. They just all came in one game.
So that was nice. Miles Sanders looked amazing. 27 for 134 and two.
Where was this last week, Miles?
When you made him the start of the week?
Yeah. I loved you.
And?
And now, then he was great this week.
Okay. All right. So who was your start of the week at running back this past week?
I don't remember. Or Breece Hall.
Okay. Oh, so good. Next week good is good for Breece?
Well, this week was good for Breece.
Rashad Penny, 17 for 151 and 2, leading rusher on the week.
Which, shout out to the DFS pass and the DFS pod crew. They had a call and a write-up on him leading for plus 3,000 over there. So hopefully you got the DFS pass. You're reading those articles, and they're helping you out.
Rashad Penny, are we back?
Does he get to play Detroit again?
No. I mean, at least not next week.
I mean, you can't be fully back, but, I mean, there was a stretch. After the second week of the season, you thought he wasn't playable.
Mm-hmm.
So he's back into...
That's what I mean.
Yeah, I mean...
He's a matchup.
I feel
play.
Like the shoe could drop at any moment, but he right now he's a good play.
Let me read you his targets: 3-0-1-1. He is not a receiving back at all. That is consistent with his entire NFL career. And this coming week, he's going to play the New Orleans Saints, a very good rushing defense in New Orleans. And so I would not play him this week, but he's certainly someone that you either hold on to for depth. Great matchup play, or you can try to trade high if someone really believes that he's the next great thing or they're a big Seahawks fan.
Two more running back studs that are currently the RB3 and 4 on the season. Jamal Williams and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 19 carries apiece, two touchdowns apiece. It was a slow start for Jamal. It was a fast finish. He was great in the spot start here without DeAndre Swift.
And ladies and gentlemen, your rookie 101, Clyde Edwards-Helaire over Jonathan Taylor. It's finally paying off. It was Eckler.
It's victory lap time, Mike.
And this was, I mean, I'm not victory lapping the injury, but I'm saying that Jonathan Taylor was bad before the injury, and Clyde has been good all year long.
No. That's a victory lap.
Oh, dang. Yeah. And it's really, this is just.
You made the right pick, Mike, in your dynasty league.
Just
you
trying
made
to make myself feel a little bit better.
Try
you going to win this week in Dynasty?
Oh, no. I have bums like Jamar Chase on my squad.
All jokes aside, I think that with the injury to Jonathan Taylor and the excellence you're seeing out of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, if you could turn one of them into the other, I would still do it.
It's wild because he's been overly efficient. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been overly efficient. 10, 12, and 12 opportunities those first three games. And then 19 carries.
They couldn't be stopped yesterday. They couldn't be stopped.
Out of nowhere. 19 carries for 92 yards.
I mean, Pacheco
yards.
Looked good.
Yeah, it actually came down to taking Jerick McKinnon a little bit out of the way, and they kind of made it more of a two-back rotation. McKinnon was still involved in some goal line situations. It was on the field from time to time, but certainly not like he had been. And Pacheco should be certainly picked up if he's on waivers.
Some people upset that we said to trade Clyde on the high. Would you still trade him?
Yep, I still would.
Damian Pierce, 6 targets, 6 catches for 8 yards, but 14 for 131 and 1, had a monster touchdown run.
75-yard touchdown run.
Which I think is one of the longest in quite a while. 68% of snaps in week 4, 20 opportunities to Rex Burkhead's 5. It's looking really good for Damian Pierce. He's a great player. still hasn't been used on third down and 2 minute drill. To me, that, you know, those are still opportunities waiting for him, but Burkhead will probably keep them this year.
The target percentages has flipped, though, from still having been Burkhead to Pierce this week. That is a huge sign going forward that he'll get more and more involved. After week one, I didn't think it was possible. I mean, you know, I was not wanting to hold on to Pierce because in this backfield, to be fantasy relevant, you need all of it. You can't split it. And after week one, when it was all Rex Burkhead and he was behind and then they're saying they're going to get him more involved, I assumed that he would take over the leading back but would split. He is not splitting. This is – he gets all of it. This is a James Robinson Jaguars situation.
Yeah, and he's at least explosive. So even in a game where he's not efficient on most of his carries, if he gives you one big one, it helps, a la DeAndre Swift in Detroit a couple years ago. Derrick Henry, Christian McCaffrey, Nick Chubb, three of the top 10 picks in fantasy drafts with big weeks.
It's mostly ho-hum, just status quo for them. But for Christian McCaffrey, 9 targets. There we go, Baker. Throw Christian McCaffrey the ball, please. Oh, the garbage man
can. Almost exclusively garbage time, but that's fine. I mean, 8 for 27 on the ground was awful.
The touchdown was a garbage time touchdown, but he was actually – like, we had, I think Christian McCaffrey had not surpassed 4 receptions on the entire season, and he was at 5, like, just after halftime.
And I believe DJ Moore got, like, 11 targets. So they did what fantasy managers were wanting, a little bit more, hyper-targeting DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey, and they lost in tragic fashion. The Cardinals looked like one of the worst teams in the league, and they beat them by 10 points.
Yeah, they're one of the worst offenses I've ever seen in my life. I don't think Matt Rhule will survive the season. He is terrible. Baker's terrible. And they're very upset. I mean, this was a team that was in competition for Deshaun Watson, who was making trades for, was it Gilmore? Who did they trade for in the middle of last year at cornerback that was like a big win-now move?
I think they had traded for Gilmore.
So was that right? Yeah, Stephon Gilmore.
Well, when they lost their – didn't they lose their rookie?
I mean, they
– J.C. Horn.
They have a – there's frustration. They were booing this offense, so
– they deserve to be booed.
Yeah, and so to the garbage man point, there'll be a lot of it this year. So at least you have the check down Christian McCaffrey there. Let's take a break. Back with the wide receivers. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, 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 and social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire. Get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/footballers. Oh, thank heavens for Mike Evans. 10 targets, 8 for 80, 2 touchdowns. This is Mike Evans, vintage Mike Evans.
Yeah, I mean, Brady was like, even the commentators on the broadcast were basically saying there's two offenses. There's one where they're really good and they're targeting Mike Evans, and then there's when they're targeting other players. And it felt that way. Brady was trying to spread the ball around. They're like, this isn't work. Mike, where you at? I'm just looking your way. No reads. Throw it to you. And it worked because he caught 80% of those passes and 2 touchdowns. Yep. He was absolutely phenomenal.
Looked great. The Chris Godwin did have 10 targets. He's certainly not in the stud muffin performance this week, but To see him back on the field for 70% of the snaps and get 10 targets, that's very encouraging.
They have Atlanta, Pittsburgh, Carolina coming up.
Okay.
So if it's go time, like if you have Tom Brady, for example, it could be a lot better for a while. Justin Jefferson,
hey.
13 targets, 10 for 147. They did some creative stuff with him in this game, including lining him up in the backfield and running him out into the flats just to get him some looks against Marshawn Lattimore and company. It was a great day. Jefferson got loose for a 50-yarder late in the game. Are your fears – I mean, there was a point in this game early, Jason, where you wrote in our Slack channel, when do I start worrying about Justin Jefferson?
Yeah, in the beginning of this game, he was not involved in nice ways. You know, I think he had five receptions, but it was like 40-something yards. They were targeting him so close to the line of scrimmage, nothing deep. And being that that was the third game in a row, you started to hold your breath, started to worry with the new offense. But they did open it up. Things worked out well, and in the end, he had a fantastic game, so worries are erased by success.
Budget CeeDee Lamb, T. Higgins, with 9 targets, 7 for 124 and 1.
How dare you call him budget anything? T. Higgins is great.
Who would you rather have between those two?
I'm talking budget based on draft capital spent in both Dynasty Leagues and Redraft Leagues.
Okay.
They produce the same, but you pay half the cost for T. Higgins. Tyreek Hill, those were Thursday night games, Higgins and Hill. Big weeks. Jamal Agnew.
Oh, Swagnew coming through with Zay Jones being out.
I didn't even know he was healthy again.
This is a Zay Jones success story to me because he's just
a little bit.
He filled in for the Zay Jones role, which has been successful on the season, been very targeted and good for fantasy, and the role continued to succeed, but good job, Jamal Agnew.
Well, and it was at the expense of Christian Kirk as well, who didn't get into the end zone and only had 2 receptions on guess how many targets?
Oh, I don't know.
9. So that's Kirk only caught 2 of 9.
They were playing in heavy rain in the Philadelphia Jets.
There were successive like drops on back-to-back plays.
Yeah.
CeeDee Lamb, expensive T. Higgins, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
8 targets, 6 for 97 and a touchdown. DK Metcalf, 10 targets, 7 for 149, despite redlining mid-game.
This was awesome. If you are unaware, DK Metcalf, it was very scary. He got
it was awesome for us.
He got carted to the locker room.
That part was not awesome.
That was
that was scary, and it was a report because that's what happened.
And they said no one has any idea what happened. We just know that we saw DK Metcalf get carted off of the field.
We didn't see the injury. What is happening?
Because he wasn't hurt, Jason.
He was having some tummy troubles, and
our dude needed to poop.
And here's the thing:
he tweeted about it.
Yeah. Back in the day with Lamar Jackson, there was like, "Oh, did he really have to go to the bathroom? Is that why he went to the locker room?" DK Metcalf has confirmed, dude had to poop.
Yeah,
and he said that the clinched walk wouldn't have done the job.
See, here's the best part.
I've never needed the ride.
Oh, I've certainly needed one.
You don't have a poop golf cart waiting for you?
I would have gladly accepted it many times. That, like, DK Metcalf, just with that one joke. I mean, of course, there will be jokes throughout history now, but it's so much different than the Lamar Jackson of deny, deny, deny. We all saw Lamar Jackson doing the clinched run to the locker room. DK Metcalf said, "I'm going in style, baby."
I hope this is the
take me there.
I know somebody was like posting king mode or something.
Yeah.
I mean, you want to endear yourself to the fantasy community. Yes. Embrace the dump. I mean,
everybody does it. We all poop.
And I mean, he already went 7 for 149.
Hopefully this helps open up all the rest of the NFL players to the communication and being able to just admit when you got to go. Hollywood Brown, 11 targets, 6 for 88 and a touchdown, has been awesome this year.
Top 10
wide receiver so far.
Some of his catches in each of the last several games have been outstanding. Difficult to get the ball, difficult to get your feet in bounds, and he's just looked absolutely amazing. So I'm excited for his prospects when he gets to go down the field more. I assume when Hopkins comes back, I think he is playing in the Hopkins role right now. And the offense that they want to kind of unleash is not able to be fully unleashed until Hopkins gets back. But the takeaway is he's playing outstanding.
Yeah, and I'm not looking to Like, I'm not saying he's a buy. I'm not saying he's a sell. I think he's just going to be a start-worthy fantasy football wide receiver with or without Hopkins.
People are disappointed in him right now.
Like, who?
I think people who drafted Marquise Brown have felt disappointed in him those first couple weeks when he wasn't, you know, getting 10 targets in those weeks. But right now, after a month of the season, he is the wide receiver 8. He's really good.
Yeah, he has. He's been great. I think those sad feelings have worn off by now. Josh Reynolds, 7 for 78 and a touchdown. Corey Davis, 5 for 74 and a touchdown. Mike Williams, thank goodness.
Yes.
11 targets, 7 for 120. And by the way, Darnell Mooney is alive.
Hey.
4 for 94.
It's because he got one big bomb.
Say how much
reception.
Which he had to try so very hard to catch. Well, and he did it.
I mean, it was a 56-yard pass, so he still had some other stuff on top of that.
And your recommendation, Mike?
Just enjoy that and then move on.
Okay. Well, here was the story of the weekend, really.
The shiny turd.
The shiny turd. Jason, why don't you break it down?
Oh, my start of the week, TJ Hawkinson, 12 targets, 8 receptions, 179 yards.
That's absurd.
And 2 touchdowns. It might be a couple months before he accumulates his next 179 yards, but this was outstanding when all the other main weapons, DJ Chark and Amon-Ra St. Brown and DeAndre Swift, were gone. You knew that they needed TJ Hawkinson to step up. What was nice is you could see, like, he is actually a good player. He is actually good. They just don't usually utilize him in that way. They keep him too close to the line of scrimmage, little rollouts and dink and dunks, but he has the physical ability to be more special.
You were mentioning, by the way, that's the 7th highest tight end single game fantasy score in the history of the NFL. Now, you were mentioning something about a trade with Al Borland. Now, was there a trade offer made to Al Borland before this week that included TJ Hawkinson?
There was. It also included a player we just mentioned, Mike Williams, who went 7 for 120.
And Romeo Doubs had a good week, too, right?
Oh, yeah. He was in that trade as well.
And a third rounder?
And a third rounder.
Wow.
And what was that all for?
I was going to get Mark Andrews and his 2.5 fantasy points. Now, that being said, this is a keeper league, and I don't blame him for turning that trade down, and I'm not even saying that he should have taken that trade, but what would have happened to my soul and my life should I have traded Hawkinson, Mike Williams, Dobbs, and a third to get back 2.5 fantasy points I would have lost this week instead of dominate. And I would have crawled into a hole that I would not have come out of for a long time. So, Al, thank you for turning down that trade.
You're welcome.
And I'm assuming the inverse, with you losing Tua, that might have...
I probably would have won.
Okay.
Yeah. Those guys scored 95 points. Yes, he would have won.
I didn't do the math, but I assume I would have won.
Last week, it was Jelani Woods. This week, it's Mo Alie-Cox. 6 targets, 6 for 85. And 2.
Yeah, we like this bet. Thank you.
Gigantor was the tight end of choice this week. Thursday night, it's football time. We'll be covering the Colts game. And, you know, they use all these guys. They use Kylan Granson. They use Jelani Woods. They use Mo Alie-Cox. Oh. And the reason they do that is because...
they're the tallest people in the world.
And they have no other wide receivers.
They don't have... I mean, look, here's what I realized this week. Because we haven't got to the duds yet, but Michael Pittman... look... you can't be a successful city. I learned this from SimCity. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
But you can't be a successful city without neighboring cities. You need some trade channels. You need to be able to go and barter. You need to be able – you can't just be all by yourself in the world. You need to be able to have neighboring cities. There are none.
I thought it was about making sure your commercial and industrial was zoned properly.
That's also part of it.
That's step one. That's a little earlier.
Yeah, and then obviously you got to get in some infrastructure. And
the power plant, don't put it in the middle.
No.
Let's not gloss over infrastructure. I think that the road system and especially the freeways were extraordinarily important.
They were very key. And you don't want any gaps water system.
Keep it
from
tight.
What I remember, you got to see it.
What are we talking, 2000 now?
I will say this. Alec Pierce did go 6 targets, 4 for 80 in this game, so he is emerging a little bit.
We like that.
Back to the tight ends, though. Kelsey, great. Gerald Everett, awesome. 5 for 61 and a touchdown.
Yeah, we'll take it.
I like how we, you know, Bob Tonyan, 2 for 22 and a touchdown guarantee. paid off. That's it, though. But it was nice to see. Will Disley got into the end zone.
Oh, yes, he did.
Big Montana.
Man.
Yeah.
This feller this year.
Yeah.
Like, do you guys understand? He's been the tight end 7 or better in 3 of 4 games.
Well, if Geno Smith's a real thing, you still can't play Disley.
Probably not.
No, definitely not. And here's why.
He's touchdown dependent.
It is the exact same reason you can't chase Mo Alley Cox, because
never catch him.
You could catch him, but what are you going to do? Climb? You're just going to climb him while he runs? The point here is both of these teams have 3 tight ends in a 3-headed time share.
Noah Fant scored in this game.
And so while you can chase them in a DFS play, obviously the upside of touchdowns are prevalent for both teams, I don't think you can roster in a home league a guy that's in a 3-way tight end timeshare and plug them into your lineup with any kind of anything other than just a prayer.
Yes, I agree. Zach Ertz, Pat Freiermuth, more targets for those guys. They were much better, and that's who I would go with. This is the visited the end zone crew, which happens every week. So Hayden Hurst got in there, Disley, like you said, but let's move on.
Pooped in his big boy pants.
All right, Mike, your league of record squad led by Lamar Jackson was on its way the past couple of weeks. There was some coming back down to earth on the superstar quarterback category, specifically with Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts this week, who, for fantasy purposes, just weren't elite.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson was on his way. Credit to the Buffalo Bills defense, because the Ravens put up 20 points in the first half. Lamar Jackson, in our scoring format, was sitting on about 14, 15 fantasy points. And then, did the Ravens not score in the second half?
Correct.
Yeah. I mean, they got shut down. Looked like Lamar was ready to have on his way to another big game, and then stalled out at halftime.
Yeah, both Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts were in...
both were in the rain games, too.
Right, that's what I was going to bring up. They were in inclement weather. They were certainly disappointing for what they had been doing and what you hope you get, but they weren't atrocious. Neither one of them had terrible games. Like, if you watch the game, you wouldn't say, oh, man, they played just super poorly. Jalen Hurts, you had 2 rushing touchdowns by Miles Sanders, another rushing touchdown by Kenneth Gainwell. The touchdowns just happened that direction.
Marcus Mariota is awful. I mean, he completed 7 passes. If we're going to throw Justin Fields under the bus.
But they won.
Yeah, I know. But it was awful.
It was terrible.
I need to get on. Okay. I need to climb up onto a box here.
Okay.
This is a Kyle Pitts box?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, I thought so.
Listen. Kyle Pitts can never, ever, 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 ever come close to what T.J. Hockenson did. Ever.
This year?
With Marcus Mariota.
Ah.
Or Desmond Ridder, probably. I mean, the chance, you have to be in a world where your quarterback is throwing the way Jared Goff is throwing. Yes, Kyle Pitts could catch an 80-yard touchdown bomb. That'll happen someday, probably. But he can never, ever, ever approach anything like the Hockenson game. Ever. 7 completions?
His high on the season is 229 passing yards. And we've been talking him up as having played well for the expectation of Marcus Mariota and for the Falcons. But
This is the Pitts.
Oh, yeah. But
14 rushing plays in a row after an interception by Mariota.
And they won. That's the worst part. They won the game.
Look, shame on you, Cleveland. How can a team run 14 times in a row and you let them win?
Oh, they got Derek Hitt, or
No. It's Tyler Algier.
Tyler Algier was some of it.
And what was the other guy?
Yeah. Caleb Huntley.
Caleb.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Now it makes sense.
Yeah, Caleb Huntley. You can't stop Caleb Huntley? Is that the name?
Am I saying it right?
Yeah, am I saying that right? You can't just stop. No one can stop. What was his name? Caleb Huntley.
Shame on you, Cleveland.
So, anyways.
Cordero was injured for a significant part of this game where he was sure. out, and they were just running the ball.
I'm just wrapping the Kyle Pitts dud into the Mariota dud because they belong together. They're yoked, and it sucks because they're leading you off a cliff. I don't know if that could happen to you in Oregon Trail, but if Marcus Mariota was playing, he could.
I think that's more lemmings.
Okay.
Yeah, you could have gone with like fjording a real deep river.
Of poop.
Wow.
So, someone has Kyle Pitts on their roster, and they are feeling what you are feeling. So tell the people who have Kyle Pitts.
You can do nothing. There's nothing you can do about it.
No.
Just live inside the poopy river. There's nothing you can do.
You can't trade him?
You can't trade. Well, sure. But
what are you going to get?
Who would you rather have, Gerald Everett or Kyle Pitts?
If you can trade him for George Kittle, maybe now you do that.
I don't think you can.
Last week I could have.
Who should you
I was offered that, and I said, no. Oh. I want Kyle Pitts.
Okay, who should you start, Kyle Pitts or Gerald Everett? Like, you've got both on your roster. You were able to pick up Everett off the waivers.
Now, remember, Kyle Pitts saw 22% of the Atlanta Falcons targets this last week.
I will never bench him. I will never do it.
Yo,
I will never put Kyle Pitts on my bench. It will never happen. It will never happen for anybody that has him. All of us live with the combine rolling in our heads, waiting.
Tyler Higbee or Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
I think you should be starting these other people.
No, I'm not. Maybe, but I'm not going to. I'm going to die here.
Okay.
On the hill.
Well,
with Marcus.
That hill.
And Arthur.
Wait, hold on. Andy, would you?
Don't know if I could handle this
right
now.
Would you trade Kyle Pitts for TJ Hockenson?
No.
Straight up.
No.
I have Hockenson. You have Pitts.
Kyle, no. No, we die here, right? Kyle.
I will die with you.
Yes!
So I just want you to officially turn down the trade offer. If I offer you TJ Hockenson.
It's an if?
Hold on. Because
you're living in the if?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, Jay. Are you actually going to – you'd rather have Kyle Pitts?
I wanted the confirmation he was going to turn down the trade before I made it an official trade offer because I'm terrified of what would happen if I traded Hockenson.
Last week you called Hockenson a huge turd.
No, that was 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
Thank you.
No, I am dying.
Last week you called him a shiny turd.
Yes. Thank you. See, and he was pretty shiny.
Kyle Pitts is the stock that like craters once you still have it and you know that the company
huddle.
You know that you have to hold it.
We got a huddle, Kyle Pitts.
That's what it is. What do you do? Do you sell it low? You don't sell that stock low if you believe in the company or at least one of the parts of the company.
I don't think I could trade TJ Hockenson for Pitts right now.
Oh, you just
No, I really don't.
I would not.
Because Amon-Ra might miss another game. It looks like Swift probably will before they're bye.
Also, Kyle Pitts has scored 3 or fewer fantasy points in 3 or 4 games.
Yeah.
3.
So, I think
Taysom Hill is averaging more points per
there
week.
There it is.
Than Kyle Pitts.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Okay. All right.
Is this over with? Is the show done?
Trade retracted.
Well, I mean, the Kyle Pitts journey is not over. It's just beginning.
The thing is,
you got a lot of weeks with Kyle Pitts.
Listen, he sucked before this week. He sucked this week. I still had offers last week for George Kittle for Kyle Pitts. I had the offer. I took it out.
You're running out of time.
That's why I'm saying
you can still trick people.
You can absolutely trade Kyle Pitts. Most players, when they suck for a month, you cannot get anything of value. But Kyle Pitts, you can absolutely get value. If you had come to me and said, I want Hockenson for Pitts, I would have sweat bullets. Of course I should take Kyle Pitts. Like, that's not a question talent-wise.
But it super, 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 super is now.
Yeah.
With the situation.
Let me throw this out. No. Kyle Pitts and the Marcus Mariota-led Atlanta Falcons will be taking on Tampa Bay on the road next week.
Nice.
They're going to follow that up at home versus the San Francisco 49ers.
Honestly, thrilled about both of those matchups. Not a joke. Thrilled. You will not run 14 straight times against Tampa Bay and San Francisco.
But can you throw?
No, of course. You can't do either. Look, this is not – here's the problem. I can't trade him because I can't be alive if I trade him and he blows up. I can't be alive then.
But so what you're saying is you can trade him and still live.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because there's no risk of my life ending.
All right.
Is what you're saying.
What about Zach Ertz? Would you trade him
for
Zach Ertz?
No, I'm not trading for anybody but expiring. Andrews and Kelsey. Same thing as last week, except for maybe Kittle. Maybe I've changed my mind
on
Kittle.
Dallas Goedert? I would definitely take Dallas Goedert over.
Why are you asking me the same question over and over again?
Because people out there need to know.
No,
people
but you already know my answer.
I know your answer. Let me talk
to
Mike.
So stop asking me.
Okay. Mike, if you had Kyle Pitts,
yeah.
Would you try to offer him for Dallas Goedert?
I would try to get Dallas Goedert plus, but at the end of the day, I think you might just have to suck it up and take Goddard.
Do you try to target someone like Pat Freiermuth, plus like get a running back or a wide receiver, like get a totally different piece?
So Muth is tough. We didn't mention at the top that Kenny Pickett took over for Mitch Trubisky at halftime, and I would believe that this is what the Steelers are going to do. Like, the transition happened. It's not. When you have a first-round quarterback, it's the rare thing to put them in for a half and then go, okay, we got to get the veteran back in. It, like, Kenny's going to be the quarterback of this team now. Do you have more hope for Freiermuth? Because if you do, then maybe you trade Kyle Pitts for Muth plus.
Yeah.
But that's tough, man.
Who has more average points per game this season, Kyle Pitts or Colby Parkinson?
Good. Who?
Yeah.
You shut up, Jason. You shut your mouth.
Oh, man. Sorry.
Oh,
just.
You know what? I'm gonna have to do it right now.
Oh no!
I didn't want to because I've been right for two straight weeks, and I didn't want to have to use it up. Because, but I'm
don't do this. Don't no. don't taint the guarantee.
Kyle Pitts is scoring a touchdown next
no,
week.
He's not.
Oh my goodness!
I'm making it happen right here, right now.
Start
you,
of the week.
You believe?
Start
it?
Of the week. Kyle Pitts.
Okay. All right.
Yes, he's getting into the end zone to redeem this moment on the show.
Do you want a Kyle Pitts, Colby Parkinson?
Kyle Pitts will definitely run around in the end zone.
Man, all right. Well, you heard it here. You've been right the last 2 weeks.
How about your stupid my guy, Jalen Hurts, and how much he sucked this week? Let's talk about him. Let's talk about him, Jason.
All right.
16 for 25, can't throw passing touchdowns.
Still quarterback three on the season, including this week.
What was he this week, though? What was his fantasy output? I'm not saying that sarcastically. I actually don't know the finals.
Very, very poor. Again,
it was
16
again,
fantasy points.
Playing.
How many touchdowns on the year does he have through four games?
Oh, good question.
I'm not asking you to look it up. I'm asking you to guess.
Passing touchdowns is what you're saying.
Yes.
The touchdowns would include rushing, which he has several. I would guess.
Yeah, that's a
four?
Weird question.
It was four. Yeah.
Oh.
Two games without him, and then three last week, one the week before. Derek Carr. Trevor Lawrence. Terrible week. Kirk Cousins. I don't know why he. I mean, this wasn't that bad, but it wasn't that good.
It started off extremely hot for Cousins.
Carson Wentz. Oh, man. In command of that offensive offense.
Yeah, it was a tough matchup against Dallas. And I don't.
I'm fully on tilt. I am fully on emotional
left
tilt.
The show.
I am not part of the show anymore. I'm living in a pit.
Yeah.
Where I belong.
Well, let's talk about Jonathan Taylor then, who went 20 for 42.
20 for 42.
Oh, my starting running back?
Yeah.
Against what was the worst run defense going into the week. They are no longer that way because they shut down Jonathan Taylor, who got 20 carries in this game and three targets, did absolutely nothing with it.
Jonathan Taylor was banged up before the game, which I think it was a toe injury.
It was.
So that's for Taylor, I'm excusing it away with the injury, and let's let him heal up and come back strong.
I will say that it's a bigger problem than any injury for Jonathan Taylor. It's a problem with Matt Ryan. It's a problem with the Colts defense. Those are the two huge changes from last season. The Colts were an elite defense last year. They haven't been thus far. The second half was better than the first, which was a disaster, but Matt Ryan can't move the football. The defense can't stop people, and let's be honest. I mean, people are approaching game plans right now with the Colts with more attention than Jonathan Taylor's ever received in his entire career, and it's working.
Yeah, Matt Ryan is truly bad. It was one of those things where the first half of the first game this season, where the three of us were watching the Colts, and we're like,
"What happened?
Oh, my goodness, yeah. He just looks terrible." But you don't think it's going to stick. But we're a month into this season, and he looks – like
there is no difference between him and Joe Flacco. None. If you put them in the same, that you swap them out, no one would notice the difference in the stat sheet.
The true question is there a difference between Matt Ryan and Carson Wentz? And I don't think we want to answer that question.
Yes, Wentz is better.
The difference is they're both bad. Both can't get the job done. Both can't win a Super Bowl. But you got a bunch of picks for Carson Wentz. So you can look at the future.
That's true.
Where the Manders are stuck with Carson Wentz.
Javonte Williams just 10 for 28 before the serious injury. Melvin Gordon was trash. I mean, he finally saw a snap, fumbled it. It's a bad situation. The running game in Denver has not paid dividends.
The worst part of this is before he went down to injury, it finally happened. They gave him the full workload.
Yes, they did.
He was getting absolutely everything.
Everything.
And it was that's just
heartbreaking. Heartbreaking. This was not a week for the running backs in Jacksonville. They combined for 16 carries and just over 50 total yards. James Robinson, no targets. Travis Etienne, Jr., keyword Jr., because he's little. I don't care what you print up on the sheet. He's a tiny, tiny guy that will never be a workhorse. He's a work pony. He's got one target.
Someone get
Andy is on fire.
Get Andy some caramels. We need to get this guy back in the positive space.
No. There's people wanting to live down here with me. There are people taking the they're rolling themselves into the pit.
You were in the upside down.
We've got a bag of Werther's in a glass case.
Okay. There's a whole bunch of people. I mean, Papa Josh, you're on microphone, right?
Yep.
Papa Josh is here. You have Travis Etienne. We were playing some video games last night. What was your big question?
Is he ever going to be good?
No.
I know.
No one's ever going to be good ever. Everybody sucks.
He will never be a workhorse.
I would agree that he probably won't be a workhorse back, but what we saw in this game was the downside. Why we've been saying you should sell James Robinson for the last several weeks is that they've had positive game scripts, surprisingly. The Jacksonville Jaguars have looked great so far this season, and they've been ahead in games we didn't expect them to be ahead. Well, they were trailing in this game, and in those situations, the usage percentage switched to Travis Etienne. Now, he didn't do much with it, but the real issue here is that James Robinson is not game script proof. When they are in passing situations, it goes towards Travis Etienne. I do think with his explosiveness, he'll have good games.
I'm trading for James Robinson 100% right now.
He's probably going to have a good run.
Philadelphia's
here.
Defense is outstanding. I mean, they're awesome. People have off weeks. What does Doug Peterson want to do? He wants to give him the ball 20 times. I'm trading for him.
Yeah, Houston and the Colts.
That's what I was
saying. And then the Giants. Like the
yeah, this is a good
time. It's going to be a good run.
Yeah, I don't. It's game script is what matters for James Robinson, and it appears to be three good game scripts.
All right, let's. There are some other running backs that we have to address because this is week four. Week four in the books for most teams, and truths, lies of the offseason coming to fruition. James Conner's one of the lies right now. James Conner has been really, really bad, not scoring. The offense is bad. You know, the bet on James Conner right now might not paying off.
No, it is definitely not. His thing was not efficiency on the ground. It was he was great in the passing game, and we're not getting enough of that, and we're not getting enough touchdown opportunity.
And then Najee Harris. Look, we receive more hate for having him ranked like 8 or 9 in the top 10 instead of 4 or 5. But this was the risk. No Big Ben was a massive risk for Najee Harris. He has not been historically an efficient between the tackles runner yet at the NFL level. He's been a volume play. 0 targets in this ball game for Najee Harris.
Gross.
And a new quarterback.
Yeah, that was.
Is there, I mean, are you trading him away?
It's always hard to trade a running back who gets guaranteed volume away because you need to have
Would
depth.
Would you trade
him
for James Robinson?
No, certainly not. Najee is game script proof. I would much rather have Najee than James Robinson.
So the run here for Najee is pretty brutal. You have Buffalo on the road, Tampa Bay, Miami, the Philadelphia Eagles, and then the bye week, and then the second half schedule really opens up, so I think I might try to target Najee in a couple weeks as a trade extremely low. You could
Because it might be a couple bad stat lines and you pick up guaranteed volume. I don't mind that.
You might be able to trade low for him right now if there's a tilting manager who... Because you drafted him in the first and it's been okay-ish. So there's a chance that whoever drafted Najee is struggling in your league, so maybe you can go get him. But wait a couple of weeks, that price might go down even more.
Amari Cooper, 4 targets, 1 catch. It was a bad game against Atlanta. Gabe Davis, 1 for 13. This is, you know, he's been hurt, but he also has yet to produce an NFL season of consistency of any kind. So it's harder when you have an expectation and you mix injury in and you go, well, is this what you would get regardless of injury? Or is this just because of injury, because we have hopes for him? Like, where are you with Gabe Davis?
Yeah, that's a great way to look at it. There is an outcome here where he isn't as good as you hoped. I don't think that's what's going on. The fact that he was, you know, he missed a game and then was like, he might be able to play and then was missing practices after getting back. He is, what we know for sure is that he's still dealing with an ankle issue. He is still missing practices. He is not at 100%. What we don't know for sure is that if he were 100%, that he's just awesome.
Right.
We don't know that. But I'm going to say that, you know, if we know he's not 100%, and when he has been, you know, week one, he caught the first touchdown of the NFL season. He's on a great offense. Now they lose 2 slot wide receivers.
10% target share the past 2 weeks with the potential ankle injury. It's a little scary to lock him in your lineup.
No, I honestly, I don't even know if I would start him this week, but I'm not trading him away, and I'm not certainly never not cutting him. He's, you know, playing most of the snaps for the Bills, like, of course. So right now he's just on my bench, and I'm waiting till he gets healthy.
Let's play a game of Are You Worried real quick. Drake London, 2 for 17.
No, got 7 targets, which was 39%.
Oh. I'd be worried. Seven completions for Marcus Mariota means that Drake London is not a lock for your lineup.
I'm not concerned.
Okay. Michael Pittman, 6 targets, 3 for 31. Target counts, week 1, 13, week 3, 9, week 4, 6. Alec Pierce, 4 catches in this game, bigger game.
Mildly.
Deontay Johnson, 2 for 11.
I'm certainly worried here just because George Pickens – became the one, and this was when Kenny Pickett came in for the second half. So my concerns preseason of Deontay Johnson, when I thought Kenny Pickett was going to be the starter, and I was, you know, given a bunch of flack for, he'll obviously still be the one and he'll earn the targets. He could be, but like we saw one half with Kenny Pickett and Deontay Johnson was nothing. Now he was also a centimeter at the most away from having a touchdown in this game, and you'd feel a little better. But, you got to be worried with Kenny Pickett.
Prior to this week with Kenny Pickett, Deontay Johnson was on 187-target pace over the first 3 weeks, just 4 targets in this game. George Pickens' target share went to 29.7%. Yeah. So something to monitor. The whole entire Pittsburgh offense is something we'll be talking about a lot this week.
Sure.
Jalen Waddle with the injury, we're not worried.
Nope.
Claypool, Goost, you can cut Chase Claypool.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Devontae Smith, 3 for 17 after everybody trusted him.
Not worried. Rain game.
Yep.
Rashad Bateman, 3 for 17.
Rashad Bateman, I was worried coming into this week of just, does he have enough target volume and reception totals to be a reliable start? Probably not, but he's got the big playability where I'm still going to have him in my lineup. What happened in this game was he was injured in the second half. I think it was like the first play of the second half. He got injured. And he didn't come back.
Yeah.
So he only played, you know, he didn't play half of this game, and so it's really sad. And obviously you put that hand in hand with the fact that, I mean, how was Lamar Jackson? Lamar Jackson was great in the first half.
Sure.
And then couldn't do anything in the second half, and he didn't have Rashad Bateman. So I am worried about the injury. I want to monitor that this week. And then otherwise I think Rashad Bateman is what he is, which is a small volume, huge play guy.
Dalton Schultz wants to talk. Tight end duds. 0 catches on 3 targets. Evan Engram, 1 catch. Darren Waller, 3 catches. Mark Andrews, just 2 for 15. Disappointing, especially with Bateman off the field, that you didn't get more out of Mark Andrews.
Yep, absolutely. Mark Andrews, not concerned at all. Are you concerned about Darren Waller? He opened opened the season pretty hot there with a tight end 9 and a tight end 2 finish, but then has been outside of the top 25 the last 2 weeks.
It's been some concern there in general, I think, ever since, the middle of last year with Renfro's emergence, Mac Hollins getting opportunities, Devontae Adams target share.
And that's like, I mean, to go week 3 against Tennessee with, with the Renfro injury, and Waller should have been the one to step up.
They're just missing. You watch these games, they're missing on these bigger plays across the middle of the field. So I don't know if you lay that at the feet of Waller not getting separation or Carr not connecting down the field, but it feels like they're one big play away every week, and it just doesn't happen.
Yeah. I'm not trying to open the tilt again, but would you rather have Kyle Pitts or Darren Waller? Like, where is that level of concern for Waller?
It has to be Waller, right?
I don't answer these questions.
Yeah, okay, that's okay, fine. Jason, it has to be.
It has to be Waller. He's got a history of success. He's on a better offense. You know, Andy talked about he can't do what Hockenson could do because he needs a quarterback like Goff. Well, that's Derek Carr. And I am a little concerned. 5 targets of back-to-back weeks, that's not good enough. But I'm not concerned because he's got the talent and the history of big performances. Is he going to be a weekly baseline that is wonderful and always going to be great? No. But does he have the ability and the talent to have a week winning performance? Absolutely. So
over the last 2 weeks, Kyle Pitts much better than Darren Waller. Thank you very much. The mental breakdown comes to an end. Thank you for tuning in. Waiver Wire show tomorrow. Enjoy Monday Night Football. And don't forget Thursday. Join us on Twitch, ballerslive.com.
See you tomorrow, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.